you taping it.
Amen.
We're looking at Luke chapter 14. Verse 25 through 35. Read some of it. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. But we see Jesus on the move here in verse 25, and the multitudes were following. I mean, now I know Dave and I and Jake, we talk about this a lot of times, and we usually go back to John 6 and 60s, in the 60s, where it talks about the multitudes following Jesus and how Jesus would always raise the standard. Okay, sort of what I was trying to do this morning, you know. And you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're refining your people. You want to make sure they're following for the right reasons. You want to make sure they know what they're getting into. I think this is what we were talking about, Kevin, when you were outside and you made the comment, do I have to do this, or you don't have to do anything. You know, but Jesus is going to set a standard in your life. If you continue to sit under the Word and the Word continues to minister to you, then things will start happening that you won't have any control over. You don't have to stop. I tell people all the time, you don't have to stop doing anything. But Jesus turned. Why did he turn, Dave?
He was going to, if he wasn't, he was going to lower the boom.
Preachers of the day, they're not going to turn. They got a big following behind them. The only reason they're going to turn is see if they got more. All they're looking for is numbers. Jesus wasn't looking for numbers. He was looking for disciples. And Jake was talking about this verse, and I think he showed me when he had his finger on disciples or discipleship. What's a disciple?
I wouldn't just say a follower of Christ. I would say does. Not just says it, but does it. Follows with actions.
I'd say
it's more of an action word, definitely, is what I'm trying to say. Because I don't think a Christian, and I think that's what Jesus is saying here, I don't think everyone who says that they believe in him is his disciple could do the work that he wants them to do. It's fit to do the work that he wants them to do.
Disciple, and I think the first thing a disciple has to be is a learner. I think when you look at disciple, if you look at the dictionary explanation of it, learner, pupil, student, and not just, it's not a church member. Okay, I think when you look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and then Jesus, his words was go out and do what?
Make disciples.
Okay, verse 18 of Matthew 28, and Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So when you start talking about discipleship, you're talking about teaching. Someone who's teachable. I use the acronym FAT. Okay, you guys heard me say it. Faithful, available, and teachable. You can be faithful and you can be available, but if you're not teachable, you know, I'm not saying teaching you, but able to get to the scriptures. Okay? Find time to get to the scriptures and learn. Okay? You have to be teachable. What do you have to be a disciple then? Because I don't think everybody's a disciple. Holy Spirit. You have to be born again. I heard MacArthur say it. He said, you can't make disciples out of unbelievers. No. You ever heard him say that? You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't disciple someone who don't want to be discipled. Right. People know we're here on Sunday nights. Okay? You know, we're going to open up the scriptures. They know what our Wednesday night is all about. You know, so again, you can't disciple someone who refuses to be taught, refuses to sit under sound teaching. Okay? Like I say, for a lot of people that come to our church, it can be difficult because they're not used to that. They're not used to the way Dave teaches or the way you teach or the way I preach. They're not used to that. You know, they're looking for something different. And they're getting expositional preaching straight down the text. You know, read, explain. You know, and that's not
entertaining. There's no fun in that here.
I was getting dressed this morning and I saw Joel Osteen, and he was giving sticks, as you know, pastor. His speech, which really had I didn't hear anything from the Bible in the 5 minutes that I could stand, and he said, 5% of the people are not going to like you, and 25% will grow to like you, and 25% will like you and never like you again, and the other 25 will stay with you forever. So I'm like, well, what the heck does that have to do with anything? Jesus didn't say, make sure everybody likes you. You know?
No, well, just that 25%.
Yeah, exactly. 25%, his church would have been closed. And they kept showing shots of the crowd, like close-ups of the people. And I literally saw Bibles in the cases, in their carrying cases, with their hands on top of them, smiling away at the camera. And I'm thinking, your Bible's not even open.
That's because he wasn't preaching.
He wasn't.
I don't need to open it.
He wasn't.
Yeah, and see, the question you have to ask... When Joel C. says that 25% theory, where's he getting that at? Okay, give me a verse that's going to say that 25%, because that's really a high number.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
25% of the world, I don't care how many people confess to be Christian, don't like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and 25% of people in Jesus' day didn't like Jesus. I mean, they followed him, and like the verse we have here today, and he's got a big crowd following him.
He didn't even mention Jesus. So if I didn't know who he was and I didn't know nothing, I would have not known that it was anything about the Bible. I thought it was a motivational speech.
What's the point of someone,
to get people to like you?
What's the point of someone liking you?
That's what I'm saying. What do I care?
That sounds like one brand's How to Make Friends and Influence People. I had to read it in college, you know, and write a paper on it.
That's where that stuff comes from.
It comes from
that
psychology. You know, Carnegie, I believe that was a good guy. Okay, Jesus is in verse 25. Unlike Joel Osteen, who's got a big crowd, you know, if you go on sermon audio and read it where his church lost $600,000. It was misplaced. One service, $600,000 in cash and checks. $600,000 in checks, which just came up missing. I don't know how often that happens. He had a big crowd. And then he turns to him and he gives them some crazy stuff. I mean, he's purposely trying to
test them.
He's testing them.
What they think they got.
But he's trying to weed out the false believers. He's trying to find out who's sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're not going to find out who's sincere if you don't preach the gospel.
That's right.
Okay? He's getting ready to give them some serious stuff. He says, if any man come to me Now he's turned to this crowd. It's a great multitude. And a multitude could be thousands. It could have been 20,000 people following him. He knew that was too many. He knew it. He knew everything. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. That's heavy. That's heavy. Some of you guys in here got some issues with that. I would. Hey, dude, he's got that kind of wife. She wouldn't like that verse. Lori wouldn't like that verse. You know, I mean, you know what? Spurgeon had a story. I've listened to so many sermons, but him and his wife is newlywed, and they got caught up. And Spurgeon would speak, thousands of people would come out, 10,000 people would come out, she got lost in the crowd. The next thing she know, he was up there preaching, and she sort of told her, "You will always be." Yeah. You know, boast about my wife, and I believe I have a great wife, because he understands the importance of ministry to me. And I think this is what Jesus is saying here. That word hate is not the word hate how we would use it.
Right.
Okay, how we use it. I hate your guts, you know, I hate you, I want you to die and all that stuff. That's not the way, that's not the word hate here. The word hate is a lesser love. Okay? It's a lesser love. You must love me more than your father. I try to explain this morning. I don't know if you guys heard me. I was talking about Jeremy and Sunday. Okay? Yeah. In the ports of church. You know, when you becoming a deacon or ordained as a minister, you know, I mean, this is just, it's serious, you know. Now, I respect you, you know, what you do, and you want to lace it up again, you know. And at the same time, we have to look at these scriptures and be like, all the time, and, you know, you can't let... For you it would be boxing, for me it could be my job, or it could be something I do. I have to keep everything in perspective. And even with Dave, and I know how he feels about his family and Gio, and at the same time he still has to look at a scripture like this and say, you know what? You know? But it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say.
Like Jesus said in Matthew 10, I think Matthew 10, he says he's talking about this again. This was a constant theme of his in scripture, where he, I want to say 34. I'm on it. It came up in this week's study. I didn't get to it this morning, but really Jesus is saying here, he's giving you the conditions of discipleship again. I guess you could start from wherever you want to, Jake. What, 32? Yeah, 32. He's talking about discipleship in verse 32.
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
Okay. This is just a constant theme of his, because Jesus wasn't mega. Okay. Contrary to all that you hear, you can go to these churches, and if you preach this thing, it'll clear them out. these guys aren't coming to Jesus on his terms. They're coming on their terms. Okay, so when he said, "Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." What the heck? What's that saying?
That's saying, well, you know, I had to go find a church that preaches the love. So Jesus himself, it sounds to you, according to this person that says that.
That was the most, honestly, I say this and I know y'all think I joke a lot, but that was one of the most loving messages that I've ever preached today.
That was a good message.
I think they're all loving.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about discipleship. We're talking about terms of heaven. And nobody wants to touch this anymore. Nobody wants to talk about it. And all we want to sit here, and all of us, and like I say, these two dudes from the streets, okay? They done been to some thug funerals. They done been there. They done seen this stuff. You done been there, okay? And I done sit there and watch them young brothers in the casket. They signs up. They got their colors on. And you got the big folder there, you know, all their pictures there at the bar. They got money in their hands. And they're smoking blunts and all this. And that preacher gets up and says,
"Better place now."
How could that ever be?
Because I was there.
He said the sinner's prayer.
Well, yeah, I was there when he was a baby and he baptized
me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I sat there, and that's what I meant when I said that today about the one inmate who OD'd on heroin in prison. And his buddies are coming up to me because I got all the answers. They said, "Hey, Sarge, what was up with dude? Is he all right? I heard he died." You know, I'm like, "What's wrong with dying?" I just preached a message on that, so it's on my mind. I said, "What's wrong with dying? He in a better place now, ain't he?" They looking at me. Yeah, they looking at me sideways because they know I'm stupid. Because I'm like, okay, he's in a better place now, so what you sorry for? Right? Right? And I confront them. And they're like, I mean, I'm pretty, I did this to a couple of them, and I'll probably do it again on Tuesday when I go back. And I'm like, you know, he showed you everything. I'm pretty sure he talked about Jesus all the time. He read his Bible. He was always praying. You know, he loved the Lord. All that was there. So he's in a better place now, right? And they're looking at me like, "Dude, you are messed up." And they're backing up out of my office because they know, you know, they don't want to accept the truth. Okay.
Well, that's because our Sunday school lessons have helped to where they're at now. But the love of Jesus, 400 years before John the Baptist, the Jews didn't see a prophet from God. So the religious leaders were making their own, starting to make their own rules. Today, churches haven't heard the Word of God preached in how long?
Yeah.
That's why you're crazy.
Yeah, I'm crazy.
That's why we're crazy.
That's good.
I was telling my wife on the way to church, you know, you got the biggest church in Youngstown, and what they're trying to do is start a credit union.
Trying to get bigger.
Yeah, they're trying to start a credit union. I'm like, where's that?
Yeah, where's that at in the Bible?
They're opening a credit union. I get letters all the time.
The church.
The churches are trying to start a credit union. All the African American churches in this city. And they send me these letters all the time. I can buy, you can send them $1,000. And it's the most corrupt ones in town.
Sure.
I'm like, really? I'm going to send you $1,000. Where is that at in the Bible where I'm supposed to start a credit union? Just preach the gospel. That's it. That's all I want to do is preach the gospel. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in your credit union and being in your bowling leagues and all that stuff. But that's what he's saying. And see, you know, when you open up the Word of God and you look at it, same thing. Think not that I come to send peace on the earth. Not. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
What did it say in Acts? That when Peter was preaching, and it said they were cut.
The sword.
They were cut to their hearts.
What cut them?
The word.
And what is the word here? Sword.
That's it.
I'm not come to set a man at variance. I am come to set a man at variance. That word variance means what? At odds. Difference. Starting a fight against his father. You know, before my father got saved, we were at variance. We didn't have a whole lot to talk about. He was over there puffing on cigars and drinking beers and cussing and swearing. And I kept on just sitting there. And I had to spend time with my father and sit there and sit there. And you know what? can sit here and tell them, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. This is my father. I respected him. I can sit here and say this. My father has never, as long as he lived 82 years, almost 83, never heard me cuss. Never heard me cuss and not call him anything but yes, sir.
He's no dummy either. What he saw.
Uh-huh. He saw it. He saw it. He saw the change. He saw it. He saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
But before he got saved, we were at odds. Daughter, same thing. Same thing with my daughter. We're at odds because of the word of God. If I drank and smoked and cussed, ran the streets, she'd call me every day and she'd be kicking it with me.
Yeah.
You know? Mother, that bothers you, Dave. Mothers in the Catholicism.
I have preached loud and angrily many times in their living room, and I have to because my dad's hearing, but they don't get it. But still, any opportunity the door cracks open, I front kick it off the hinges and let it fly. But I know they're lost, and I can't. There's like I always say, I can't save them.
No,
but I'm gonna keep.
Yeah, I like that verse. I know we jumped away from Luke, but we're gonna cover this one and go back. And again, and it says against her mother and her daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. That could be a lot of things. Son went out and married an unbeliever.
Well, daughter-in-law is never good.
My wife and my mother got along wonderful. They loved each other. But you see what it's saying there? I mean, yeah. And the son could have went out and married a believer. I mean, you know, you get a Catholic girl go out and marry a serious believer. Got some problems.
Yeah.
You got some problems. You know that. Jake knows. I mean, you know, if you married a Catholic, born again. Family ain't born again. You ain't the most popular person in there when the kneelers come out. At the I mean, will they ever really accept your Christianity? You know?
Especially when you down that shrine when you moved into that house.
My dad got something against me over that. Over everything I've done there.
Buried some prayer cloths in the closet.
Wow. Yeah, I forget about that stuff. See, that's what I'm saying. And this is what the scripture's saying. Look at verse 36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Other than my one brother, you know, other than Tom, you know, my family's do, you know, we have very little of a relationship. And this is what we talk about in the parking lot. You know, I mean, when you really come to the saving knowledge of Christ, they're gonna see Christ in you, and your worldly friends and the friends that you ran with, and if it's real in you, they're gonna. Something happened to Kevin, and that's what's supposed to. That's how they're supposed to respond to us.
Yeah.
Something happened to Dave.
Yeah.
You know, he's an alcoholic. You know, stop drinking. Power of God. They knew something supernatural happened. You just don't stop. You know. I always say it. I think I say it Wednesday night, you know, and I talk to those foster kids I have, and they I don't care how hard you work at it. That's why I keep saying, Jake, you just keep preaching the word to them. That's all you can do. Because the power to change them is not going to come from within them.
Right.
Okay, there's nothing inside of you that you can tap into that's going to make you be better. Because, you know, but all our what righteousness is, that's what? Filthy rags. So we're sinners. We're born in sin. And we must be born again. So that the source of our good, any good that's going to come into us, has to come from the outside. It's not coming from us. Okay, you can sit back and say, oh, I'm going to get myself together. Uh-uh. Where's the good going to come from to help you get yourself together? Where's that good going to come from? It's going to come from you. It ain't came in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. It's not in you. There's no good in you outside of your salvation. Once you get saved, now you got some good in you. But prior to being saved, you have no good in you.
Yeah, there are exceptional few that can put themselves at peace. Yeah. And they fall harder than they were before.
Yeah.
That's my uncle, man. Yeah. He fell again. Hard, dude.
Hard.
Hard. He's signed us up in the psych ward. About to kill himself. Hard.
Because, you know, and some people guilt trip you. That's why I don't want to sit here and say, hey, look, you know, don't give up nothing. Don't give up nothing, man. I mean, if you got a whole drawer cabinet full of porn movies, just keep them. If your salvation allow you to keep that stuff, you know, don't give up nothing, because if you're doing this on your own, you got a freezer full of beer, not a freezer, but a refrigerator full of beer, and you got all your smut magazines. Man, listen, if the Holy Spirit in you don't say, look, I need to throw this stuff away. I didn't, you know, I took mine to the pawn shop. Dave threw his away.
Cut all mine up.
Okay, I mean, I just got to keep it. I am, you know, if the Holy Spirit is not calling you to do this, and you're doing it because some preacher said, you know, stop drinking, stop smoking, stop chasing girls, stop cussing, that ain't coming from God.
That part ain't going to save you anyway.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that are atheists that don't drink and smoke.
Yeah. So we go to Ephesians 2. We know it so well here. I think all three of us in here can quote it. For by what grace are you saved? Through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. So when you hear, you know, you and I hear people, and you've heard people say, you look at a brother, you ain't seen in a while, and say, yeah, I decided to get myself together. No, you didn't. If you decided to do it, you're not together. Okay. So and I say that because I think this is what Jesus is saying here. Okay. I come to bring a sword. I'll chop some dissect your life, and I'll do this. You just receive the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit takes residence in you, then you ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is everything start happening in your world. You'll be like, wow, that's some people. My brother Tom, chain smoke. Just quit. No patches, no pills, none of that. He just quit, and he ain't never stopped even serving God for 15 years now at least. I've seen it, you know. I'm not like these guys want to run around here and a miracle doesn't come.
Yeah.
Miracle's here and a miracle here. You need a miracle. You hang around some of these churches and you got a miracle coming your way, Brother Kevin. You got a miracle. I see great things in your future. Not without Christ, I see bad things.
Well, you preach every day.
I see affliction coming.
Once you become a Christian, fill up with money and the red lights ain't green.
What happens is God will empower you to get through the trials. He'll give you power. He'll give you power to get through the things that you need to get through. And then, like I say, the Word of God said, many are afflictions of the righteous. I'm easily the most despised person at Trumbull Correctional. If you ever meet somebody work out there, say, who is the most hated person out here? It's Sergeant. No doubt. Because it is what it is. You better sign up for it, because if I see it, I'm writing it down just like I see it. And if they call me to court and two eyewitnesses call me at home and say, Sergeant Neal, they just killed an inmate, and they call me to court, it is what it is. And that's what happened in 95. So, you know, that's how they feel about me, because all who desire to live righteous shall be persecuted. So you tell the truth and stand in an evil world, you got some stuff to deal with. But it is. And I stand on it, and I walk out there, and I look them right in the eyes, and I've seen God for years cover me at Trumbull. 22 years. Three more, and I'll be done. Three more, Jesus. But it's difficult. So I don't want to sit here and fool you or fool anybody. I try not to do that on Sunday morning. And I tell them, look, count the cost. Take your time. This ain't a membership club. I'm not on a membership drive. I'm not getting points for every person to sign up. You know, I'm not looking for membership. I'm looking for people saved. I talk to inmates all the time. When I get out, I'm coming to your church and say, for what? Church is for saved folks. What kind of preacher are you? You know, maybe a pedophile. I'm going to bring you in. You just going to come and sit and look at the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But we just want to have all this, you know, it was a big day. There's a lot of people there today.
You gotta love everybody.
Mm-hmm. This is what this is saying here, right? Right in Matthew 10:34. That's what you're getting out of that?
Yeah, you gotta ignore what's right. Yeah. And just tolerate and allow them. Just love them.
So this is Jesus right here in Matthew 10:34. He's talking about love everybody, right?
Sorry.
With a sword. He said, okay. Now,
he's telling her, bring a sword, but it's a plastic one.
It's a plastic sword. It's not a real sword.
I'm going to cut him. So he really get these times.
Yeah,
I understand. I'm back in Luke. Anybody else?
NFT.
His translation. That's where I came from.
Any man come to me. I mean, he's just sitting here taking this crowd and telling them, turn around and go back. Luke 14 and 25 and 6. He's basically telling this crowd, y'all following me for the wrong reasons. Where's that parable, Dave? That story where the man said, you know, I'll follow you, but I first must go back and bury my father. Okay? What's he saying? What's he saying? There's no man who willing to do what? Go back is worthy of following me. Man, you won't hear that kind of preaching today.
Puts his hand to the plow.
You ain't hearing that today.
Yeah, dude, I just got married.
Yeah. Let me go tell my friends, bye. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
See, today's ministry is how to not have to change your worldly lifestyle and still make how to keep, how to have your cake, like Jay, and eat it too.
Yeah.
How to ride the fence.
How to ride the fence. And you know what? And we're committed at this ministry, this church. We're not gonna let you ride the fence. I'm gonna try to run you out of here. Okay. I'm gonna try to get you off that fence.
The word
by preaching the word.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, and I count on these guys to keep me accountable. You need people around you that's solid. Just gonna sit here and say, ain't scared. These guys ain't scared. They're like, hey, what's that about?
When you see this, that means we're for it. We're trying to get you today.
I was gone. Huh?
You were out there a little bit before you started.
I know. I got off. Thanks.
I called Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, as soon as you get
about this, I'm in Luke 18. I like this story. Now, listen. Let me tell you something. The average preacher ain't worried about discipleship. Would have took this guy in a heartbeat. Okay. D. Jakes, Creflo, and Benny Hinn, this guy would have been speaking at their church the next week. Okay.
Talking about the rich young ruler.
Yeah, this guy would have been a guest speaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
I mean, I watched Tyler Perry, you know, at TD Jakes church speaking in tongues and laying hands on folks.
What?
Yeah, on YouTube. It's a fascinating video. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Man, that's a million-dollar question. Let me tell you something. You know, as a, if you ever get a chance to go on a Larry King show or something, and or any of those shows, or any, if somebody put a mic in your face as a believer, well, you better have an answer. You better be able to answer that question right there. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God." And basically what he said, if you want to do it, here's what you do. You got to work on your works righteousness. And he said, "What should I do? You can't do nothing. I just said it. You can't do nothing." Religion is based. This is a religious guy. Religion is based all solely on what you do. Okay? You follow me, Jake? Okay, religion is based on what you do.
We was talking about that at work, and I used your said something to me about religion. I said, "Man, I hate religion." He said, "What?" He said, "You messed me up." He said, "Really?" He said, "I'm all confused now." I said, "Let me help you out."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Go online and Google how to become a Catholic or a Muslim or," and I said a bunch of other things, I can't even remember. And I said, "Google how to become a Christian." I said, "You can't do nothing."
That's right.
"There's nothing you can do."
That's right. That's right.
He was looking at me crazy.
But you know what? They're supposed to. Because, you know, he's going to think about that.
Yeah.
And this is exactly that same question this guy's asking Jesus. What shall I do? And I highlighted in my "I do" to inherit eternal life. And Jesus is going to play with this guy. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God." You want to do something? Here, do this. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not honor your mother and father. Don't listen to gangster cussing rap music. Don't watch this on TV. Don't watch The View. Don't watch American Idol. Don't watch none of this. That, you know, I'm just, that's just my own translation.
You know what, though? The good teacher, when he said, why do you call me good? Then he said, well, you know the commandments. So this dude apparently was...
He was on top of things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What do you call me good for? You already know better than to call me good.
Yeah, you ain't doing nothing wrong. Mr. Self-righteous. Mr. Holier than thou. Mr. Super Catholic. Mr. Super Muslim. I had the Muslims come off us all the time. They come off us, man. You know, I respect you, a religious guy. I'm not a religious guy. You're a religious guy. Okay? I tell them, it's like that.
I mean,
yeah. And then when they leave, I say, also, I'm Salega.
Yeah.
I still love the Lakers. So they leave my office. They come in and say, you're a religious guy. I said, I'm not a religious guy. You're a religious guy. Because, see, you can just become a Muslim.
Yeah.
You can go to the mosque and say, hey, I want to be a Muslim.
Yeah.
Just like we were saying, Jake. Or you can walk into a Catholic church. Catholic had election day the other day. I seen them. Oh, I just want to be a Catholic. Or you can go into Buddha and say, I just want to be a Buddhist. Mm-hmm. Or I want to be a Mormon. Or I want to be a Jehovah's Witness. They'll give you all this material. Do this, do this, do this. Pray this many prayers a day. Do this. Go knock on so many doors. Wear a white shirt and a black tie. Walk around the neighborhood and get them all to sign these cards.
Get rid of that Bible. Here's one of ours.
And here's one of ours. But you can't just become Christian. See, this is why I push some chairs out there. And I almost stopped doing altar calls altogether.
I'd like to stop calling it altar call.
Whatever it is.
Call it prayer.
What is it?
Prayer time.
Prayer time at the end of the service? I'm talking about the end of the service.
Chairs out front, that's the invite.
The invite. Prayer time. Prayer time. I'll put that in there. Prayer time. Next day.
Altar call just reminds me when Modim is going.
Oh.
Get ready, y'all. I got one more scripture for these churches.
Bust it up.
Get ready, y'all.
Throw it down.
Get in.
You can't join Christianity.
Right.
Because the only religion talk about salvation is Christianity. You won't hear that through your mother off the date, being her being extends all that.
My mom got sore ribs from me going to the body all the time.
Is she born again?
No, I don't believe my mom is saved.
She's sprinkled.
I don't believe she's saved, but she don't defend it either. She don't defend it.
Can't defend it with you because you shooting holes in it every time.
Yeah.
Who's going to even bring up Catholicism around you? Which is fine. You know, the Catholics don't talk to me. I see some brothers at the prison. They're Catholics, and they're inviting me to come and speak at their little Toastmasters and stuff. I say, dude, I'll offend all you guys, all you Catholics. What are you talking about? You're a Catholic.
I invite you again, do it.
You've been sprinkled? You believe in... You're praying to Mary? Is Mary God's mother? They don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. Watch this. Verse 21. And he said, all these things I've kept. But you've up. He's a special guy. He's got the ability to keep all these things. I mean, this dude is just a perfect guy. And when Jesus heard these things.
Let me read the verse. But in Mark 10. Quoting him, loved him, and said unto him.
He loved him.
I love that.
Yeah.
So that's like my favorite verse of the Bible.
And that's the difference between Mark. Mark is so vivid, and his illustrations are. Luke is coming from a doctor. Matthew's pretty straightforward. Mark is just charismatic. There's a charismatic apostle to be Mark, you know, because his book is just vivid. The illustrations are just make it come alive.
Well, that doesn't sound like love today's preaching.
Yeah.
No, love today's preaching. They would have patted him on the back and said, you know what, just, you know, you keep doing what you're doing, and why don't you come to Sunday night and bring your wife too? And what that sermon by Peacock, last sermon, he talked, if these churches are preaching, just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be okay. You're not going to be okay.
You know, this guy wasn't going to be okay neither.
Mm-mm.
Because Jesus loved him, and what Mark is saying, Jesus is looking at him and saying, listen, this guy needs truth. Now Jesus is going to give him the truth. He asked him, he said, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus is going to give it to him. He said, now when Jesus heard these things, and a matter of fact, you know, most commentaries tell you the commandments Jesus asked him about were the easiest ones. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy mother and father. Most of us can say to a certain extent we've done that too. So it wasn't like he done anything that was outstanding, because those are the ones that that deal with the world. Okay. Now the next 10 gets personal when you say that thou shalt not covet, stuff like that. You know that's number 10. But you know, if you can say you've never coveted anything, you're a bad dude.
Now, none of the commandments are easy.
No. But you can get around these. You know, I've not committed adultery. You know, Jake could get around this. Do not steal.
Yeah, right.
This should be the same,
okay,
man.
Okay, all right, so we're good. All right, I need to hold this.
Yeah.
Hey, you're up. I got the mic on, man. Just be honest. Okay? Now look at Jesus in verse 22. When Jesus heard these things, and again, that word heard, he understood what this guy was saying. And that's where Mark says he loved this dude, because his dude was just lost, man. He's like, dude, you so messed up. You so need me. You so need the truth. Yet, lacking style, one thing. One thing. He's asking this guy, you want salvation. He's saying, you lack one thing. Now that's a win-win situation. Somebody say, look, all you gotta do is do one thing to get to heaven. Thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast. See, we're talking about discipleship, man. He wants to be a disciple, because I don't believe you can get to heaven outside of being a disciple. Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast. And after you sell it, distribute unto you make for selling it. And thou shalt have treasure. And your treasure, I treasure. That's a good deal, ain't it? And come and follow me. He understood what Jesus was saying. I know that didn't say that, but that's really, really saying. Heard this, but he understood it. Like, he took some time to think about it. Like, he looked at his entourage, because he would have had an entourage like Mike Tyson in his heyday. He'd had an entourage, and he would look back and seen all his stuff. That stuff. Very sorrowful, very rich. Well, go to Mark again, Jake, and read it in Mark. I think Mark would say that. Maybe say that just a little different. Mark chapter 10. And maybe it didn't.
The whole thing, or starting from 21?
No, when he heard this.
And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
And he was sad at that saying. What made him sad, Dave?
Part with his stuff.
He didn't want to part with his stuff.
His God.
His God was his stuff.
It was more appealing to him.
So he had a chance to make a decision.
Oh.
No.
That didn't Mark.
He just wasn't elect. That's really what it was. He couldn't make the decision.
Sounds like he made a decision.
Right. He was sad about the decision he made.
I went there today. Willing.
Yeah, I did too.
So he did make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. He wasn't just sorrowful. He was very sorrowful. Different than being sorrowful, very sorrowful. I mean, he wasn't just sorrowful. Basically, what he was saying is, I'm going to hell with my stuff. That's something to be very sorrowful about. He understood the terms, and this is the gospel. And this is what we preach every day, because people hear it and walk out of that sanctuary and say, well, tomorrow. next week, next year. When he heard this, what do you hear? Jesus gave him the gospel. That is your stuff.
This is why they about this homosexual agenda.
No. What was there to say?
Because guess what?
Yeah.
The stuff to hold on to. That's going to go bye-bye.
That's going to go bye-bye. Absolutely. That's the cost. That's really what I meant. When somebody, what I need to give up. It's the answer right here.
Which one?
Listen. Stop, Dave.
Man, we're all saying great
I'm taping. I'm taping this.
Great possessions.
He said, I'm like, this is it all.
And when he heard this.
This one ain't going public.
Yes, it is. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Why? Why? For he was very rich. Wow. Imagine walking up to Mayweather. What'd you call his day?
Money May.
Money May. Money May.
That black duffel bag that he always has with him, there's $1 million cash in it.
All the time. Yeah. You know. Give him the gospel. Wow. Give him the gospel.
Whew. He said it.
That's a word of cross, don't he?
Yeah. He's blessed. That's the guy who gave him talent. You never heard him talk?
He's right about that.
Yeah.
He's blessed, though. God's with him. God's there when he's cussing everybody out, too.
Yeah, beating up his girlfriend and everything.
Talent. That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Verse 24.
Right,
wow. There's a lot of saved people in the world.
Everybody's going. That's why everybody's there to go ahead.
Right. Right. Crazy. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, what are you preaching?
Look at verse. This is interesting because. And I'm just looking at this I'm looking at this like it's brand new to me, and I've been over this. I preached this before. This is crazy, Dave. Look at verse 24. Wait a minute, you see what I'm saying? Just look at verse 24 and then look at verse 23. If it's almost like some people teach a message like some people are just born to go to hell.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, you're not born to go to hell. You just don't have the ability to accept Christ. You're just not one of the chosen ones. Okay? You see what I'm saying?
It's starting to scare me.
No.
Yeah, he knows what I'm saying, so I'm just being sarcastic. But look at verse, if this guy was born to go to hell, because he's going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Based on this story right here. He's turning his back on salvation. Basically saying, I'd rather have my stuff. I'm making the decision not to follow Christ and keep my stuff and keep going the way I'm going. But if that was the case, look at verse 24. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Jay, go back to Mark. Because one of these verses that teach this said, Jesus.
Yeah, 21.
Mark 10:21.
Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and follow me.
We'll just say after he left Jesus, hearing this, it was very sorrowful.
The next verse, yeah, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
I'm looking at verse 21. And Jesus, beholding him,
loved him.
I have John. For God so loved him.
Jesus, the love of Jesus was on this guy. Love of Jesus was on this guy. Jesus loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Then he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Looked around and said unto his disciples, And I believe he's talking to more than just the 12. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now
Judah, that one.
Judah, heresy hunter of the group.
I'm tired.
But what is this saying to people who teach you need to be rich? If Jesus is saying here how hard it is for those that have riches to inherit the kingdom of God, why is these guys preaching a message saying you should be rich? You should have stuff and prosper. Why is the prosperity message so popular when Jesus is saying it's really a ticket to hell? You know, you guys ask where certain people are at on Sundays. I mean, the more money you have, the harder it is to get to church.
True.
You got boats, man. You got golf clubs. You got boats. You can get on a plane and fly to Disney World at the fly. You imagine how hard it would be to get to church every Sunday? You know how hard it would be for DeMarcus Ware to get to church every Sunday with a 3-year, $30 million contract, $20 million guaranteed? If he fell in the locker room, broke his arm, that's guaranteed.
You can't go to church on Sunday.
You can go Saturday church.
Yeah, early.
Some churches have Saturdays for the guys that are too busy to go on Sundays. You can go to Believers up here. They got Saturday church. Well, we've been all the way around the building.
Well, the riches, I mean, Jesus talks a lot about riches. He says, harder for a rich man to pass through the gates of heaven than it is for a king. Relying on your money.
Why is it hard for a rich man to get to heaven?
Self-sufficiency. I used Mark Cuban for an example. Mark Cuban is a self-made millionaire. He owns the Mavericks and Dallas Mavericks and things like that. And I like the guy, I do, but he doesn't understand. And that's one of those people that something need a car, I just pay for it. If I need this, I just pay for it. You become self-sufficient. What do you need God for?
Yeah, what do you need God for?
When Jesus had disciples, when he called them and he said, leave your nets and follow me, that was their business where they were making their livelihood, and then they're following this guy around, making no money, don't have any food. He's got to pull off a miracle to get them two pieces of five loaves of bread and two pieces of fish. And then he tells them, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. And they're probably looking around going, yeah, I just left my business.
That's right.
For this.
That's right. They dropped nets.
Yeah.
They were net droppers. That's what I was saying today about
with
Paul.
The poor in spirit.
Right.
They were relying on him for everything now. They weren't relying on their money and their business to get them through. That's where that was hitting them, and they stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. That's what Paul meant in 2 Corinthians 12:4. He said, I learned to rejoice in my infirmities and my reproaches and different things, because when you're in that situation, you depend on the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. You ain't got nothing else to depend on. You ain't got no dough. You ain't got no money. So you ain't got nothing else to depend on. You ain't got no food. What are you going to depend on now? Work becomes real.
Peacock standing that last avid, real good golfer, and went out with this pro in the second hole. The pro wrapped his club around the tree. His dad said to him, let's go, boy. Took him back to the clubhouse, and the guy caught up to him and said, you know, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not exposing my son to that. And he, I'm sorry, or whatever. It was my own club. And he told him, you need to practice more. He said, the pressure, sometimes pressure reveals weakness. Mm-hmm. The storm mm-hmm. will reveal
what you are.
Yeah, what we are and what we're being taught.
Yeah. And I said that today. Trials don't give you faith. Fill your faith.
Yeah, that's good.
You better have some faith before you run into a trial.
Man.
So, that's about an hour on this. I thank you guys for your input. I know we didn't cover a lot, but